Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is...
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Empathic Mastery with Jennifer Moore. Jennifer is a healer, teacher, and spiritual mentor for sensitive, intuitive women who need help controlling the empathic overwhelm that keeps them stuck in their life. She helps people break through fear, overcome the past, and claim their intuitive gifts. Please welcome Jennifer back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to the Empathic Mastery Show. I'm your host, Jennifer Moore, and I'm so glad you're here. This is a place where we talk about what it means to be highly sensitive and empathic, how this impacts all aspects of our lives, and we explore tools, resources, and solutions so we can shift from absorbing all the thoughts, feelings, and energy of the world around us to being beacons for calm, love, and healing. So today, I am bringing back my dear friend, Michelle Thompson, who is an academic and legal coach and one smart cookie. And last episode, Michelle and I were talking about how with this whole coronavirus and just in general, our perspective and our perception is so influences things so strongly. And today we're going to talk even more about the ways that our personal, our social, our global messages and information really deeply informs the way we live and also can really affect our health. And who knows what else we're going to be talking about. So, Michelle, welcome back. I am so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back here, too.
It is just so, well, it's always awesome to talk with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. The feeling is mutual.
Yeah. It's just so good. So when you and I, before you and I got onto the show, we started talking about, what is it, sort of the core of this? Like, what are we really, really working on shifting and changing? And you were saying, we're not the noise that people say we are. Can you talk more about that? Could you go into that?
Yeah, and I it's interesting. I had another thought connected to that. But, I think we're starting to see a shift in the media narratives about Black communities, for example, and coronavirus, right? It's not that we're more likely to – it's less not – we're not even quite working that out. But it's less about people are more likely to get it, but it's more about the systems and structures that actually leave Black – and now left, and we knew Latinos in Chicago – I think 60% of the Latino community there is positive with the virus. We just heard that statistic today.
Holy.
Yes. It's the highest. It's like the highest of any population, right? It's not that they're more vulnerable to it. It's that we can't believe, and there's a flip side to this, but I'll get to that in a minute. Actually true is that we have systems that are set up and they're just now just replicating themselves like viruses. I'll see what I did there. To recreate and reinforce that inequality. On the flip side of it, right, although I think the noise isn't quite working out the way that people think it would, right, for people who are not living in close proximity to Black and Latino, to brown and Black communities, right? It's that we live in a bubble that's going to protect us from the virus. I think that's why people are actually having these protests. They're like, look at me, I'm not going to get it. And the virus is clear that it's not checking your socioeconomic background. It's not checking your race. It's not checking a bunch of things, right? And we're starting to see, like, the noise that people believe about themselves is actually not actually true. And we're starting to see that.
Yeah.
The other thing I think, the thing for all of us, and I think this is where we are all so deeply frightened about this virus, is that we're all subject to death. I think, you know, as human beings, we're terrified of that. We are absolutely terrified about that. Right? I've just started to do a tarot course, and it looks like my job right now, in many ways, is to actually focus on my soul, right? And there's something that makes me leave me a little skeevy about focusing on my soul, because it's kind of close to death, right? But maybe the time is to put on the big girl bank panties and, like, face it. Right, that's why I pray. I don't pray that I'm not going to die, but I think part of us, we want to believe that about ourselves, that we're never going to die. But I think we're confronting narratives about death all of the time, and they're profoundly uncomfortable, and we're not happy about it, and we'll do whatever it takes to make sure that we're not subject to it, except that, you know, viruses are stunningly, and this hasn't been democratic, but that's because of systems, but we're all vulnerable here.
Absolutely. And Michelle, you just opened.
I do this all the time.
Oh my God. But what you just opened to me is really the most important thing. And that is, like, okay, people, let's stop pussyfooting around. Let's talk about the true. The fact that we're all going to die, whether it's from the coronavirus or from something else, at some point, we are in mortal bodies with a timeline. And interestingly, this so ties into the interview that happened a couple weeks ago with Clark and Perdita about the way of the rose.
That's great to be on the same level.
Oh my God. Oh, I am still basking in the afterglow of that conversation. It was so absolutely off the hook. It was so good. But we were talking about one of the big problems, and I see this all is connected. It's like one of the biggest problems we have right now is that, one, we feel disconnected. We do not recognize that we are interconnected. We do not recognize that all of the working class, brown, black, yellow, and white people that are holding up the system are somehow connected to the people who somehow feel that they're safe and in a bubble, that it's like there's almost like this denial of like we see our face, but we don't see our butt. And actually, I've been saying, you know, we are at a point where it's like there's an old saying, you can face or you can save your ass, but you can't save both at the same time. And right now, we got to save our ass. And part of that is admitting that we are interconnected in a way that means that if one part of the system is vulnerable, the entire system is vulnerable.
Exactly. I know there's been a meme posted that, I don't know if you guys noticed that, they don't frame it quite this way, but it's the owning class that wants you to return to work. That means it's that you're the ones responsible for bringing them their wealth, right?
Yes.
And in this case, not only are working class people responsible for bringing their wealth, they're responsible for making sure they don't get sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And when that connection starts to fray, people get a little bit crazy. I was telling you before the show, right? You know, breaking news. Donald Trump's valet is sick with the virus. He actually has symptoms. Well, he's been all up in the White House, that means, right? He's been, you know, among all sorts of people.
Well, and we know how effectively people have been wearing masks in certain places and doing social distancing or any of the self-protective behaviors. Yeah.
Exactly, right? And so I don't wish harm on the president or his family. No, I'm not a fan, but I don't wish harm on them, right? But, like, I think the president and everyone around him starts to see how very, I don't know what valets do, I'll be honest with you. But whatever that job is that they decided that they can't do for themselves leaves them very vulnerable.
Leaves them very vulnerable.
And they're only going to do as well as their valet is doing. They're only going to do as well as the cooks are doing. They're only going to do as well as their housekeepers are doing.
Well, in the whole system, you know, right now, you know, looking at the whole elder care system and the fact that the elder population, and my parents are both in, you know, my dad's in advanced memory unit nursing home, and kind of we're at the end of days period with him. And my mom is in an assisted living facility for memory, people with memory issues.
My mom is also in memory care.
Right now, you know, there have been a couple cases of there's an employee who has it and who so now is in quarantine, and a couple people in the facility, like in each of, there's like some people in the independent living area who got sick and are in quarantine. Mm-hmm. There's some people in the assisted living facility who got sick. And then in the unit that my dad's in, there are a few people who are sick. But the thing is, it's like, you know, the comment you made of how do we protect people when, you know, it's like, the people who are doing the care providing, who are in the service professions, are put in a position where they are having to come and go. They still have their own families. They still have their own, you know, own situations. And so it's like, it's an untenable situation.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to the piece that you and I are talking about in order to kind of sustain the system we've got, there's a certain kind of cognitive dissonance that's going on.
Yes, absolutely, right? You have to believe that there are some people who believe I'm completely immortal, and there are others of us who are like, we're just a little too close to this, like I could die tomorrow, right? And both of those are distortions. They're profound distortions. But the distortions cannot run the show, right? We are at a point, and I get it, right? Because of patterns of greed, this is I don't know. I think capitalism is really in its death throes. I think people, like, and that's why the income inequality is so great, right? That's why we're, like, that's why we can't even have a real conversation about making sure that people get food assistance, right? Like, it's in its death throes. It's an incredible thing that people are making more on insurance than they would going to work, which is not for me to say don't go on insurance. It's like, well, maybe we need to actually fix the conditions under which we work, but I digress. Capitalism is in its death throes, and we're hoping that the things, the money, the bank accounts, the wealth will protect us. And it's not proving to be sturdy. And we all have versions of that. But
yeah.
I'm not sitting on billions myself. So there's something a little less at stake with the system as it exists.
Right, right. Well, and, the systems, you know, the thing is, in order to, well, and I want to tie back to death. Because the conversation that I had with Clark and Perdita was very much about coming back to the recognition of the circular nature of life as opposed to the linear nature of life.
Mm-hmm.
For the last couple hundred years, in many ways with the onset of the Industrial Revolution especially, we've lost a sense of the sacred. We've lost a sense of real surety about the afterlife, real surety that it's not this final thing that, you know, you live, then you die, and it's just done. And, you know, the thing about our culture right now is that there are so many people who it is this, you're born, you live the life, you accumulate as many toys as you possibly can, and then you croak. And the thing is that with that kind of perspective, where there's no sense of interconnection, there's no sense of continuity, there's no sense of being aware that it's like, I am born from the bones and the decay of my ancestors, that I rise up from life that existed before me, and I will contribute to the life that exists after me. And my immortal soul will probably show up again and again and again. That when we deny, and interestingly, reincarnation was written out of the canon, that it used to exist in the Gnostic Gospels, that there was that information. When we deny the continuity, it's really easy for us to get in these bizarre, like these bizarre, like fragmented pieces of code that don't work.
You know, it's interesting because one of my favorite parts of the ecclesiastical year is Lent. I love Advent and I love Lent. And, you know, we kick off Lent with Ash Wednesday, right? And what does the priest do? You know, they take the ashes and they put them on your forehead. From ashes you were born, from ashes you will return. Right? Every time I hear that, I actually think it's actually really beautiful, right? But that actually says something about how we, that's kind of it. That's kind of the core of it, right? Like we're made from ashes, we'll return as ashes. And what's to say that, you know, those ashes become something else, right? We take the palm fronds from Palm Sunday, that's what becomes the ashes, right? Like, ashes become something else.
Yes, ashes become something else. And it's we just had a fire the other day, and I literally will be, and I burned away a bunch of stuff, things that my parents have been saving since the 1950s.
Wow.
And I burned a bunch of things, and I plan to basically, I will actually literally be taking the ashes and stirring them into our soil to grow things. And, you know, I've been personally praying, you know, just let me remember it is from your eternal sacred heart that I am born. In your sacred heart I do dwell now, and to your sacred heart I shall return my immortal soul.
Right.
And I know that, you know, in a way it's like this whole dance is really about having that perspective and coming to terms with the fact that we are mortal. And not only are we mortal, but systems are mortal, that systems break down, and that in order for things to find their way, sometimes the old and unsustainable has to break down.
Exactly. Right. You know, and if it means we kill some species while we're at it, including the human one, so be it.
Yeah.
Because what we've set up is untenable. It's not something that can reproduce itself into ad infinitum.
No, just looking at, you know, and I will say I've been keeping an arm's length from it because it is so ghastly, but looking at what's been going on with the meat industry and the unsustainability of the system, you know, it's like, and as a result of the unsustainability of it and the fact that there is this sort of like, we don't care if you're dying, we don't care if you've turned into a zombie, you need to go to work, that there's this point at which it's like our will alone cannot force the system to continue. We cannot simply say, I choose to have this country open up because I want the economy to be fine. And suddenly the virus just goes, okay, fine, bye-bye, we're going home. It doesn't work that way.
People run economies, people keep them going, and if we refuse to tend for people, there will be nothing.
Right.
And there's nothing like Rona that really cleared up people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're looking at spikes of people sick and dying. I mean, we're really like, almost casually saying that in the United States, 100,000 people are going to die by the end of July from this virus.
That strikes me as like, that strikes me as probably a conservative estimate.
I've heard 130,000.
Right. I mean, we're already at 70,000.
you know,
as of this conversation,
not more important than that. It's just not.
And my brother, who is in the healthcare industry, so he and I have been having talks, and he's somebody who's in there. He's on the front lines. He's seeing what's happening. And, you know, it's really interesting talking to people who are in it versus the people who are looking at it and speculating from a distance about what's going on. But he and I were just talking about, it's like, you know, the economy can bounce back. He was actually saying Bill Gates originally said this. And, you know, for those of you, whatever your opinion about Bill Gates is, God bless you. You know, it's like, this is just, he was the person who said this. And I feel like there's truth to this. He basically said, you know, it's like human lives cannot be replaced. The economy can. We can figure out ways to deal with money. We cannot figure out ways to deal with the loss of life.
Exactly.
And, you know, and what occurs to me too with all of this is that this conversation, which in another time and place would probably be so much more straightforward because everybody would be on the same page. This conversation is so challenging because so many different people have so many different perspectives. And I was working with somebody a while ago.
I don't even know if it's perspectives. I think people have so many fears can take to actually distance themselves, not from the virus, but from fears. And so I'll make up whatever story I need to make up so I don't actually have to face that.
And I've been writing a lot about fear and about the mechanisms of responding to fear and about how, you know, we are wired in three ways to deal with fear. There is fight, there is flight, and there is freeze. And fight can look like I'm going to create, you know, an entire new side hustle course and a 16,000 email sequence that's going to go out to everybody and get them to buy my shit. It can look like people armed with rifles protesting in front of the state house saying, you know, let my people golf. I don't know if you saw that. I have to say, whoever came up with that sign actually had a sense of humor because that was really kind of funny.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Like, what is golf going to get you right now?
Right, right. Well, it's going to be a place where you can let your mind go and not think about the Rona and think about the scary stuff, you know. And then there's fight, where it's like people are just angry or they're just, you know, all kinds of different things, you know, getting into fights about dishes, getting into fights about you stuck the contaminated knife into my jelly jar. Who, me? No. I was upset about that? No. But there are so many different ways that the fight can show up. And then flight. It can be, you know, I'm going to go quarantine and I'm going to go live off the grid and go sit in the cabin for the rest, you know, until this dies, blows over. I'm going to go watch all the Netflix. I'm going to drink all the wine. I'm going to do all the things. And then there is freeze, which is I am so exhausted I can barely lift my head. And then you've got the people who don't have the luxury necessarily of being able to sort of engage in these, who are first responders or essential workers, who are just keep on keeping on and showing up. But then on top of it, we've got the stages of grief. Yeah. And, you know, whether you look at this as grieving death or you just look at this as grieving the change of society, things we are losing a lot right now. And, you know, the first stage of grief, which is the way we protect ourselves, and I will just say a caveat before I go on with this, is that grief is not linear. This is not like you take a class and you get to do denial and then you graduate from denial and then you go on to anger.
Exactly.
You know, it's messy, it's convoluted, it's confusing, and it shows up sideways so frequently. But we have denial is the first step. This couldn't possibly happen to me. I live in the safe part of, you know, safe rural area where I'm not going to get exposed. I can go hang with my friends, have fire pits, do this, do that, you know, but I'll be fine. Then there's anger. How dare you tell me that I have to stay home? How dare you do X, Y, Z? Who do you think you are telling me what to do? As well as those of us who are angry at the lack of PPE, the lack of righteous anger, but anger nonetheless. Then there's the bargaining phase. The, oh, if I take enough vitamins, if I do enough of this, you know, if I just say X number of Hail Marys every day, I'll be okay. I'll find my way through it. And then depression. Holy shit, this is never going to end. It's going to go on forever. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. All of, you know, just pass me the wine, you know. And then finally from that, you know, from depression, eventually we get to acceptance. And then sort of the sixth stage of grief, which is finding meaning, which I personally believe we're not going to find meaning in this until we are further along in this process.
I think you're right. We barely, as a nation, we've really barely come to grips that we were just starting this. Right? I mean, that's why we're reopening. Right? We actually don't really have a sense that that was the warm-up act. The last 8-9 weeks was the warm-up act. We haven't seen the main attraction.
Yeah.
So there is meaning to be gotten from this. But we are not at a point where we can
we have a sense of the meaning of this in a grander sense. And, you know, tying this back into what it means to be empathic and what it means to be sensitive, I think what I'm seeing is happening for a lot of the empaths I'm talking to and working with is that we are understanding and feeling the gravity of this in a way that a number of people are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'm seeing is the idea of owning our truth,
mm-hmm.
really owning our truth, mm-hmm. and not succumbing to the social pressure to deny what feels right.
Exactly.
And in a way, this ties back to knowing our health, knowing our bodies, knowing what is fundamentally right about ourselves as true, as opposed to succumbing to the noise, the external noise in our society. That I think that in a lot of ways, so much of this whole thing is about not acquiescing to something that is a lie, simply because it's more convenient and it reinforces the dissonance and the denial that our system has been living with for a very long time.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't say it any better. I could not say it any better.
So I know that, you know, the owning of my truth is something that I am seeing being a major stumbling block for any of the people who are really showing up for this,
right?
You know,
right.
You know, I see people who are managing to, who are, God bless them, they're in enough of a bubble that they're really not feeling it. And I'm, and God bless them for having that luxury, that opportunity that they don't feel it. You know, more power to you, knock yourself out. I'm so glad that's working for you. And I'm not being sarcastic about that at all. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, that's great. But for those of us who do not have the bubble, that we just don't necessarily have the bubble, or are just too sensitive to necessarily deny what's going on, which would actually, let me say that for me, I'm very aware that I need to be very mindful of how I curate the information coming into me and
exactly.
how much I dive into the mess. Because I
exactly.
am not in it, and I don't need to spin out from it. But what I keep seeing is this ownership of my truth, ownership of truth, and giving myself and giving, you know, empaths in general, giving ourselves permission to say, this is what I know, I stand in this, and I hold true to this, regardless of what other people are saying or thinking or doing.
You know, it's interesting. It occurred to me, you know, before this, I was telling you that we don't have a refrigerator. We're not going to have one for a week.
For a week.
And it occurred to me, it just occurred to me when you were saying that there are bubbles, that there are people who are in bubbles who would have had a refrigerator in 24 hours. This is not a COVID-19 reality for me. It will never be, or maybe it will, but it's not today. Right, like that you know, and but that's where we, that's where I feel the impact of what's actually, I mean, there are many other ways too, but like, that's a very clear impact of what, you know, we need a refrigerator. It's not like it's not like a whatever, you know what I mean? Like if diet's going to be a certain way, if I'm going to be at my healthiest game, I need a refrigerator, right? But there's that's actually the truth of this, right? And I can't get mad at Best Buy about this. They have working people who are risking their lives by coming out into people's homes and delivering things. I can't, how am I going to get mad at them about this? This isn't their fault. I'm Mm-mm. a little blown away that all these people are buying refrigerators, but all right, so here we are.
Well, I'm imagining actually there are probably a lot of people buying extra refrigerators right now too, because there are people who
are
like...
Well, I'm glad for them. I live in a New York apartment. We have no room for an extra refrigerator, but I have no idea where we would put that.
Under your bed, you could sleep on it.
Right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this. See, but then again, like that's a life I don't know.
Right. And that really comes back to perspective.
Right.
So we've got, you and I talked about doing some tapping.
Absolutely.
Time.
Yeah.
And we've got about 20, 25 minutes right now. And so we've got maybe 15, 20 minutes to tap in. What feels like the thing that would be most helpful? Owning truth?
Let's do owning
despite
truth.
All the noise?
Yeah.
How about we start by tapping on the noise? Like just the
Absolutely.
External noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then see about claiming our truth.
That works.
So when you imagine, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lead you in an exercise that has been really helpful for me. So we're going to start by tapping on our collarbone. I want you to, if you're a person who closes your eyes, and for anybody who's joining along with us, as with all of my tapping, you agree to take 100% responsibility for your own process. Don't go places you don't belong. If you see something or you feel something, and or if I say something and it doesn't work for you, change the words to work for you. And best thing you can do is just keep breathing, keep tapping. So as we tap on the collarbone, if visualizing is easier with your eyes open, keep them open. If visualizing is easier with your eyes closed, keep your eyes closed. What we're going to do is we're just going to look at where are you in conjunction to the Rona? How close is the energy, the fear, the chaos, the misinformation, all the things? How close?
For me, I'm probably across the street, right? I live across the street from the housing project.
Okay, so if you were to imagine it as like an energetic thing, like an entity.
It's like a glob outside the window.
It's like a glob outside the window.
Yeah.
So you're like what, maybe 10 feet away from it?
6 feet.
6 feet away from it. Huh.
Yeah.
Six foot distancing.
Yeah.
And interestingly, there's a deep correlation between our aura, the healthy aura extends about 6 feet out. So and intensity feeling towards the glob, 0 to 10?
Oh, today it's probably a 10. in part because of, like, I don't have a refrigerator. It's hard to control my food, right? Like, I think it's like it just feels...
It feels uneasy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay. Side of the hand, even though... The Rona is only 6 feet away from me.
The Rona is 6 feet away from me.
It's a it's a blob.
It's a blob outside my window.
Outside my window. And it's, what color is it?
Blue.
It's blue. I'm just tapping on it.
I'm just tapping on it.
And I'm open to the possibility. That what? I can find my way
That I can find my way through this.
That I will find my way through this, and I can, and my intuition can guide me.
Yes, and my intuition can guide me.
About how to keep myself and my family safe.
About how to keep myself and my family safe, yeah.
Yeah. So even though.
So even though.
The Rona is 6 feet away from me.
The Rona is 6 feet away from me.
It's a blob outside my window.
It's a blob outside my window.
It's blue.
It's blue.
What is it doing? Is it?
Just kind of sitting there.
Just kind of sitting there.
Yes, just sitting there.
Just sitting there. I'm just acknowledging it.
I'm just acknowledging it.
I'm just tapping on it.
Tapping on it.
And I'm open to the possibility.
I'm open to the possibility.
That this can shift.
This can shift.
And that I can use my intuition.
And that I can use my intuition.
That I can access the calm, wise part of me.
That I can access the calm, wise part of me.
That knows my truth.
That knows my truth.
And knows how to take care of me and my family.
Knows how to take care of me and my family.
And I can recognize.
And I can recognize.
That I am really okay.
That I'm really okay.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
So even though.
So even though.
The blue Rona is right outside of my window.
The blue Rona is right outside my window.
It's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there.
This blob.
This blob.
I'm just acknowledging it.
I'm just acknowledging it.
And I'm open to the possibility that this can shift.
And I'm open to the possibility that this can shift.
That maybe it can move further away.
That maybe it can move. Maybe that it, maybe it can dissipate.
Maybe it can dissipate.
And maybe it can dissipate.
And I can access the calm, wise intuition within me.
I can access the calm, wise intuition within me.
That knows how to take care of myself and my family.
That knows how to take care of myself and my family.
And I can recognize.
That I can recognize.
That I am okay.
I am okay.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
We're tapping on the top of the head. This blob outside the window.
This blob outside the window.
Eyebrows, the Rona blob outside the window.
The Rona blob outside the window.
Side of the eyes, the Rona blob outside the window.
The Rona blob outside the window.
Under the eyes, the Rona blob outside the window.
The Rona blob outside the window.
Under the nose, the Rona blob outside the window.
The Rona blob outside the window.
Under the lip, the Rona blob outside the window.
The Rona blob outside the window.
Collarbones, the blue Rona blob outside the window.
The blue Rona blob outside the window.
It's just sitting there, the blue Rona blob outside the window.
The blue Rona blob is just sitting out there outside the window.
Top of the head, the blue Rona blob outside the window.
The blue Rona blob outside the window.
Let's take a deep breath. So we started at a 10, 0 to 10. Where are we at?
I think we're closer to a 3, and it's interesting. The blue Rona blob became, like, much smaller. It's pale.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Yeah, when I did this exercise, a variation of this exercise a couple weeks ago, I had been submerged in the fear, the global pandemic of fear, mm-hmm. and it was this roiling black and purple smoke that was like, it was so thick, it was like I was inhaling it. It was up against my skin. I couldn't tell up from down, sideways from backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And as we worked on it, it started to dissipate. And then I had about 6 foot of distance. And eventually I had like distance and it had dissipated completely. And I was back on solid ground and able to just to make better choices for myself about how much I was going to engage with it.
Right.
Because
right.
as empaths, I know a lot of us are trying to find, you know, it's such an incredibly uncertain time that a lot of us are doing a bit more like projecting or pinging into the timelines of the future and also trying to sort of feel into what's going on to just get answers. But it's a very precarious thing to do. And I just, before we go into a next round, I just want to say I was working with another client earlier and I was saying for those of us who have clairvoyance and prophetic abilities and the ability to look into the future, now is not the time to do that.
I'm not trying to do that.
Oh, hell no.
I do want my channel clear. I do want to, because I want to be able to intuit the moment, but I don't need to know.
No, we don't. And the thing is that there are so many inexperienced time projectors right now. There are so many people who are sort of trying their little prophetic muscles for the very first time and looking down the timeline. But the problem is there's so much fear and so much awfulizing going on that the entire future timeline is being, there's a generic, sort of like the general population timeline right now is clouded
right.
with a great deal of fear. So it's very hard not to look through a glass darkly as
right.
we look at it. So I'm just like, unless you're like a master and you know how to like elevate above and look at the positive timelines and project for that only, just don't go there, little buckaroo. So we're at a three. So even though the blob is fading, and it's a pale color now.
And it's a nice pale color.
And it's not nearly as big. I wonder if there's anything it's trying to tell me. I'm open to the possibility. That I can understand what it wants me to know.
And?
I claim my truth. I claim my calm, wise instincts. And I welcome divine guidance. That will teach me. What I need to do. In order to take care of myself and my family. And I can recognize. That I am okay. Right here, right now.
So even though.
The Rona is outside the window. It's dissipating. It's getting smaller. It's changing colors. I wonder if it has a message for me. Since it's hovering. Maybe it has something to say. I'm open to the possibility. That I can understand the important message. And I can let go of the rest. And I choose. To claim my truth. And to focus on the calm, wise intuition. That can guide me. To take care of myself. And my family. And I'm okay. Right here, right now. So even though. The Rona is outside the window. It's dissipating. I'm open to the possibility that I can understand it more. And I choose to claim.
What's true.
And I can recognize. That I'm okay. Right here, right now. The Rona outside the window. What color is the Rona outside the window?
The white Rona outside the window.
I wonder what it's trying to tell me. The white Rona outside the window. Let's take a deep breath. And now, coming to the collarbone point, just tapping on the collarbone. Imagining that white Rona outside the window and imagining that it could talk to you.
Okay.
What are you trying to tell me?
That whatever happens will be all right.
Ah, And there is a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That absolutely knows.
That absolutely knows.
That it is from the sacred heart.
That it is from the sacred heart.
And the ashes of my ancestors.
And the ashes of my ancestors.
That I am born.
That I am born.
It is in the sacred heart.
It is in the sacred heart.
And the rich soil.
And the rich soil.
Of all who have come before me.
Of all who have come before me.
That I dwell now.
I dwell now.
And it is to the sacred heart.
And it is to the sacred heart.
That I shall return.
That I shall return.
My immortal soul.
My immortal soul.
When I slip this mortal coil.
When I slip this mortal coil.
Sometime.
Sometime.
In the future.
In the future.
And part of me absolutely knows.
Part of me absolutely knows.
That my soul.
That my soul.
Is so much more than this body.
So much more than this body.
And all will be well.
All will be well.
How'd that land?
That's good.
Awesome. Top of the head, take a deep breath. Okay, so is the Rona outside the window still?
I think she's gone.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's gone.
Got to visit someone else.
Go elsewhere. Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on your way out. Ah, so 0 to 10, what kind of intensity are we at?
I keep yawning. I'm really at a zero. I think it's like cleared out quickly.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Does it feel like there's anything within this that still needs attention? I've got one.
Yeah.
If you can't think.
I can't think of one, but.
Okay. Yeah. Even though. There are a lot of people who have different opinions.
There are a lot of people who have different opinions.
And there are some people who are doing things that make me go, hmm.
There's some people that make me go, hmm.
I choose. To focus on this moment.
To focus on this moment.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
And I claim my truth.
I claim my truth.
Which is?
That... You know, again, whatever happens will be okay.
That whatever happens will be okay.
I hope I'm here to see it.
And I hope I'm here to see it.
If I'm not, it'll be okay.
If I'm not, it will be okay. And chances are,
I'll show up again.
And I welcome divine guidance.
I welcome divine guidance.
And the still... calm wisdom within me.
And there's still calm wisdom within me.
That knows what to do.
Knows what to do.
And I can recognize.
And I can recognize.
That I am okay right here, right now.
And I am okay right here, right now.
Regardless of what anybody else says.
Regardless of what anyone else says.
Does.
Does.
Or thinks.
Or thinks.
I'm okay.
I'm okay.
So even though. It's just true.
It's just true.
There's a lot of uncertainty.
There's a lot of uncertainty.
There's a lot of conflicting information.
There's a lot of conflicting information.
There is a lot of angry memes and posts going on.
There are a lot of angry memes and posts going on.
And there's a lot of emotional reactivity.
There's a lot of emotional reactivity.
And people are at different places with this.
People are in different places with this.
And I can just recognize it.
And I can just recognize it.
And I choose to claim my truth.
And I choose to claim my truth.
I choose to own mine.
I choose to own mine.
And give back the rest.
Give back the rest.
And I can keep myself safe, calm.
I can keep myself, I think present is what comes to me.
And I can keep myself present.
I can keep myself present.
In this very moment.
In this very moment.
And just take the next step in front of me.
And just take the next step in front of me.
Because the truth is.
Because the truth is.
All we really have is now.
All we really have is now.
And so I get to do the next right thing.
And I get to do the next right thing.
So even though there's a lot of uncertainty.
There's a lot of uncertainty.
There's a lot of confusion.
There's a lot of confusion.
Tempers are running high.
Tempers are running high.
And a lot of conflicting information.
A lot of conflicting information.
I'm just acknowledging it.
I'm just acknowledging it.
And I'm choosing my truth.
And I'm choosing my truth.
I welcome divine guidance.
I welcome the divine guidance.
And access to the still, calm wisdom within me.
And access to the still, calm wisdom within me.
And I choose to be here now.
And I choose to be here now.
Focusing on this moment.
Focusing on this moment.
And focusing on the part of me that absolutely knows.
And focusing on the part of me that absolutely knows.
That beyond time and space.
That beyond time and space.
My immortal soul is fine.
My immortal soul is fine.
And that all will be well.
And that all will be well.
That we will get through this.
That we will get through this.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
Life is cyclical.
Life is cyclical.
And it continues.
And it continues.
And I am willing to embrace.
I'm willing to embrace.
Birth.
Birth.
Death.
Death.
Rebirth.
Rebirth.
And I humbly pray.
And I humbly pray.
That I may truly remember.
That I may truly remember.
That it is from the infinite sacred heart of love.
That it's from the infinite sacred heart of love.
And the ashes of all that have come before us.
And the ashes of all that has come before us.
That I am born.
That I am born.
It is in the infinite sacred heart of love.
It's in the infinite sacred heart of love.
And the rich soil beneath me.
And the rich soil beneath me.
That I dwell now.
That I dwell now.
And it is too.
And it is too.
The infinite sacred heart of love.
The infinite sacred heart of love.
That I shall return.
That I shall return.
My immortal soul.
My immortal soul.
When I someday slip this mortal coil.
When I someday slip this mortal coil.
It's just true.
It's just true.
This is how it works.
This is how it works.
And then I can come back again.
And then I can come back again.
Wash.
Wash.
Lather.
And repeat.
Repeat. And I'm okay.
And I'm okay.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Let's just grab the gamut point and take a deep breath. Place both hands over your heart center. Breathing in again. How are you doing?
Calm.
I am so, Michelle, thank you so much for being my willing, the willing person in the hot seat for this. And for
you're
this
very
amazing
welcome.
Amazing conversation.
Thank you for inviting me and having me.
Oh, so good. So good. You and I could talk for 1,000 years. I have
we
no
could.
Doubt. Yeah.
We could.
So, Michelle, as we come to the end of this session, just, you know, so people can find you,
yeah.
What's your URL?
MichelleDionThompson.com. That's 2 L's, 2 N's.
And we will include a link for that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank
this was
you.
Really special.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really special. It just feels so good. And, you know, as we complete this time, I just really want to support all empaths who are listening to this, all sensitive people who are listening to this, that it's like, it's okay to relax and to take the space we need to take and to create a little bit of curating and insulation as opposed to just continuously dipping our toe in the crazy that's going on. Yeah. So as we come to the end of this week's episode, please pass the show along to friends or family members who would find this information helpful or could really use some support around the Rona. Also, I'd really love to hear what's going on for you as a highly sensitive, empathic person. I'm always looking for what kind of support that you're needing right now. So please send any questions or tapping requests to questions@empathicmasteryshow.com. And while you're at it, visit empathicmasteryshow.com to download your copy of the Empath Sensitivity Guide. Then join me again in 2 weeks on Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, for the next Empathic Mastery Show. Okay, one last time, hop over to empathicmasteryshow.com for your Empath Sensitivity Guide and send requests to questions at empathicmasteryshow.com. And go visit Michelle Dion Thompson. Come while you're at it. So until next show, shine on. We need you and your gifts here on this planet more than ever before. So please, don't judge your empathic rainbow by muggle colorblind standards. Okay, guys, until next time, I am sending you so much love. Hang in there. Hold fast. Keep on keeping on. We're going to get through this. This too shall pass.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.